Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
And now, moving on, Georgina Lawton says she was 14 years old by the time she realised the phrase mixed race was a label many others ascribed to her. She had grown up in England and in County Clare to a white Irish mother and a white British father who did not discuss their daughter's difference. And Georgina's new book is called Raceless. It's available now and she joins me on the line. Good morning, Georgina.
Hello, hi, nice to speak to you.
Good to talk to you, and it's a remarkable experience that you describe, and there are so many layers of social and cultural factors that fed into what happened and the reasons why your parents didn't address it with you sooner, didn't talk to you about it. Will you take us back, first of all, to your childhood? A lot of that childhood took place in Ireland.
Yeah, it did, yeah. I spent every summer of my life up until I was about 21 or 22 in County Clare, which is where my mum's from. And yeah, I had a really happy childhood, other than this sort of kind of silence around who I was and, you know, around why I didn't look like my parents. Because as you said, I had two white parents and I have a younger brother who's also white. And yeah, then there's me that's quite obviously not white, but it just wasn't getting spoken about. And I guess in Ireland, my difference was illuminated a little bit more because Clare is such a homogenous.
You described those idyllic summers, you know, the wonderful summers that you spent. And I know that they were a joy to you. But was there a particular moment where you remember realizing that you looked different?
I guess I realized, you know, more in England. I had sort of, you know, racial reckoning when I was about 5 years old. And I looked at my skin in the playground and I realized that I didn't look like anybody else. Because I was the only black child in my year at school. But in Ireland, I guess I'd sort of come to terms with it by the time I remember being in Ireland and realising my difference just wasn't getting spoken about there either. Mm. So,
but you know, children always ask awkward questions and have no problem boldly asking questions. I'm sure you did ask, didn't you, as you were growing up?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I guess with increasing kind of frequency as I became more cynical. But as a child, I would ask, you know, when I came back from school, or I would ask when people in Ireland asked me, you know, who are my parents and why don't I look like anybody? I would go home to my parents and I would ask. And, you know, my mum would kind of say, we don't need to talk about that. Or we would lean into this kind of throwback story, which is something that actually came from Ireland. And that was a way of sort of cementing me into my Irish narrative and cementing me into my family.
Tell me about that throwback story, as you call it.
Yeah, so my mum is from Clare. She's from near a place called Spanish Point. And, you know, it's so called because apparently ships from the Spanish Armada were wrecked off there. And, you know, the Irish gene pool was darkened as a result. So a way of justifying my appearance, my blackness, is to say, oh, perhaps, you know, you're a throwback gene from a time when all these kind of Spanish sailors were living in the west of Clare. And my grandfather, my mum's dad, was kind of leathery skinned, but he wasn't black. So it was a story that kind of made sense if we didn't kind of probe into it too much. But it's something that I would repeat to other people.
And I'm sure when you were younger, Georgina, you accepted that. Of course you did.
Yeah, I wanted to fit in. Kids want to fit in so they believe what they're told and they believe the stories their parents tell them, because, you know, belonging is really important as a child. It's something that everybody craves. It's a kind of human condition. You want to stay with the people that raised you and the people that love you.
And did your father have the same attitude when you asked questions as your mother did?
I guess, yeah, more of the explanations came from my mother. My dad didn't really go into it at all. It wasn't something I felt, you know, really came between us. But then again, it just wasn't discussed at all. And I think both parents were quite similar with that silence. But yeah, I don't remember ever really, you know, getting many explanations from my dad. It was always kind of my mum that would do a little bit more of the talking, but it was still pretty difficult to chat to both of them about this issue.
And he seemed to me, from your description of him, to be a quiet person anyway. Would that be fair?
Yeah, he was quite emotionally reserved. I mean, both my parents are, but yeah, my dad, very loving, very affectionate, but he didn't talk a lot about his feelings. And I think he held a lot in. So with this topic, I think he just decided to stay in the family and raise me without question and show me a lot of love, but not to ever address the possibility that we might not be related. I think it was too painful for him.
And he sadly died in 2015. And I know that loss was devastating to you, but his death made you more determined to discover the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was really the linchpin of our family, and my mum did a lot of caring for him when he got cancer. And, you know, that loss really just wrecked the family. But it gave me sort of permission to start asking more questions, because I knew that I wouldn't hurt my father because he was no longer around. So that was sort of the impetus for, you know, going and taking DNA tests and finding out more and questioning my mother about what the actual story was.
And did she give you any more answers now that you were an adult?
Yeah, I mean, it was still difficult. But I took DNA tests with, you know, samples that my dad had given me before he passed away. And I finally got it processed, you know, a year later. And it came back and said that me and my father weren't related. And then I had to go and challenge my mother and talk to her and, you know, really get to the bottom of what the story was. And it was really difficult for her because she hadn't spoken about it for, you know, 23 years. But after a lot of probing, a lot of shouting, a lot of kind of confrontation, she eventually told me that, you know, I was the product of this sort of affair that she'd had with a black man in West London when my family lived there. So, yeah, it was another sort of big shock to my system and a big shock to our family. But it sort of gave me permission to start exploring that side of myself that I'd suppressed for so long.
And did you manage to discover anything about your father's identity, your biological father's identity?
Yeah, I mean, I took more tests. I left London for a while. I took more DNA tests and I found out, you know, lots about my heritage. It's likely that I'm Nigerian. I took a DNA test that said I've got sort of 50% Nigerian heritage, which implies that this man, you know, could be Nigerian or he could be, who knows, like Caribbean, but with sort of Nigerian lineage. So, you know, I found out a little bit more in that respect, and I found very, very distant black relatives, but every time I put my DNA into these systems, it picks up all these Irish relatives because the system's full of Irish people, but it's not so busy when it comes to people of African descent. So there's lots of Keens and Gallaghers in the system, but not so many, you know, West African names. So I'm still trying to find out a little bit more about that side of me, but my DNA is in the system and it will pick up, you know, people as they get matched to me.
Did your mother ever talk to you about how she and your father dealt with this when you were born and when you were a child?
Yeah, so in the book, I sort of talk about how I interviewed my mother and I went back and pieced together how this story got legs and how it actually grew into this whole family thing that just engulfed us. And, you know, I write about this a lot, but I went and spoke to her and she told me that when I was born, the nurse actually said, oh, you know, this could be a baby that's come from this throwback gene, and that's where the story started. And the nurse giving my mum that sort of, I guess, excuse was something that she then repeated to my dad, and my dad never questioned her. He just said, yeah, that's our baby, that's our child, and they just went home and they never spoke about it, or so my mum says. And I went and interviewed some of my dad's family and friends, and they said that he never spoke about it either. He just got on with it. He just, you know, stuck around, and I never felt like it came between us because he gave me so much love and affection. But it's remarkable that my parents, they never sort of, yeah, acknowledged it in their marriage. It just wasn't a thing. I never heard arguments or, you know, hushed conversations about race or who I was. It just wasn't acknowledged.
So you've no reason to question what your mother has told you about how your father dealt with this, given your experience with him.
Absolutely, yeah. People seem to think it's quite hard to believe that, you know, it wouldn't be an issue in my parents' marriage. But from what, you know, me and my brother saw, what we experienced, I had so much love from my father. And what I know from him being quite emotionally stoic is kind of, yeah, it's true to what my mum's repeated. Like, I can just imagine him not speaking about it. And as his friends and family confirmed, it didn't seem to bother him. But looking back, I feel like the absence of dialogue definitely indicates that it was a tricky topic to discuss, otherwise we would have discussed it.
But it's plausible, isn't it, Georgina, that he may have just made a decision when you were born and just lived with that decision for his lifetime.
Absolutely. I think that's exactly what it was. But it took a long time for me to work that out in his absence, because, you know, I was really grieving twice. I'd lost my dad physically, as me and my mum and my brother had, and that was devastating. But then when I got these DNA test results, it was like I lost him all over again, and I lost the story of our life together, and I lost that biological tie that I thought we had. So it was very difficult for me to just, yeah, accept that he wasn't bothered by it because I couldn't ask him and I couldn't speak to him after he was gone. So it was a really tricky time.
Really difficult. And then your relationship with your mother, given that she didn't want to discuss this with you, you eventually ended up going to therapy together. So can we assume from that that your relationship has improved?
Oh, yeah, it's done wonders for our relationship. You know, therapy allowed me to see my mum as a person and not just, you know, my mother and, you know, how she was growing up in Clare in the 70s and how sort of silence around difficult topics is something that's, you know, endemic in Irish society. And that was something that, I guess, fueled my mother's decision not to say anything. She also carried around, I think, quite a lot of guilt and shame from having this affair and not speaking about it for 20 years. I think it turned her into somebody else, really. So once we started talking in therapy, and I could see the impact that it had on her, and she could understand how devastating this silence had been for me, it really helped us come back together as mother and daughter, because I guess we were more distant than we should have been because of this silence hanging over our family for so long. But it was a really difficult time. It took, you know, two and a half years of therapy for me to really get to that point of seeing my mum and her really seeing and understanding me. Mm-hmm. But I'm so glad we did it, because now, you know, I can go back home and we can just be mother and daughter and we don't have to talk about all these difficult things. We can just sort of be. But it's definitely been a long road.
Because you would have had to put yourself in her shoes, try and understand how she had been raised, the issues that she might have been dealing with, and try and understand why she made those decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think she wanted more than anything for the family to stay together, as did my father. But I think growing up, as I was saying, in Clare, this kind of shadow of the Catholic Church behind her, and the thought that confessing to an infidelity is, you know, worse than a lot of things for women, I think it was really, really difficult for her to actually speak and talk about what that was like for her, because she'd kept so much inwards, and I think she'd learned to protect herself by not saying a lot. So I had to really get my mum to open up, and she really had to listen to me to hear what that impact had been like on me. So as I was saying, it was a really difficult process.
And what about your relationship with Ireland? Because I know you haven't been back since 2017.
Yeah. Ireland is a place that's always going to be within me. You know, I spent so many of my summers there, every summer, in fact, until I was in my early 20s. And it's a place that, you know, I hold very dear to me. And I feel like I know it culturally a lot like I know the UK. I'll definitely go back, but I think once my father passed away and my mum also lost her brother, you know, just a year before, all those memories and all those good times are sort of marred by grief now. And it's something that, you know, everybody has to get used to. Places change, people change, people disappear, and then, you know, the memories are a little bit different. So Ireland's always going to be within me, but I'll definitely be going back at some point, hopefully with my mum for a weekend away or something. But it's been tricky, I guess, since I lost my dad, because he was such a big part of my Irish experience, even though he wasn't Irish.
Yeah, but he would come over with you as well during the summers, wouldn't he?
Yes, it was a whole family expedition. Like, you know, the car would be loaded, we'd get on the ferry, we'd, like, you know, go to the beach with my cousins, and my dad was always the one, you know, buying the sweets and taking people to the amusements and building the sandcastles with us in Kilkee. All of that was my dad. He loved Ireland. And he loved having a pint of Guinness, and he loved being with my mum and her brothers and, you know, going to my auntie's pub. So, yeah, Ireland was a huge part of my childhood growing up, and hopefully it will continue to be. You know, I'm going to go back there soon for sure.
And what about racism in Ireland? Because I know you wrote about in 2017, you experienced a really unpleasant incident in a pub.
Yeah, I think the racism in Ireland is a lot like the racism in the UK. Like, you know, we say that it's not a problem. We say that we don't have an issue with difference, but when it comes down to it, there's still a lot of sort of, you know, really basic, overt, just go back to Africa, you shouldn't be here type of racism. And that is what I experienced in 2017 in a pub that I'm, you know, my aunt owns in Doonbeg. So that was really difficult for me, just because it's something that I thought wouldn't happen so in our society at this point. Yeah, it was a tricky situation. Mm. And talking to my mum about it was really tricky as well, because, you know, she kind of reverted back to her default, which is not to say much and, you know, be a little bit awkward about it. And I think we were going to therapy at the time, and we had to really unpack why I wasn't able to talk to my mother about it at the time. And it took a long, long period of therapy to get to the bottom of what it was. And I think my mum had just spent so long not seeing race in Ireland as a way to accept it, and not seeing my race. And I really had to let her know that there is racism going on in Ireland. There is racism going on in the UK. But if you're not listening to me when I tell you about it, it's going to come between us, because, you know, I'm experiencing it, and that's a part of my life, and I need you to understand that. So I think in Ireland, unless you're really kind of there in the moment, you can deny that racism is a problem, but it absolutely is.
Well, Georgina, I do hope we'll see you back here at some stage. But in the meantime, if people want to read more about your story, your book Raceless is out now. It was published in February by Sphere. And also, Georgina is host of the Audible series The Secrets in Us. Georgina Lawton, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.